The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Right, let's get on with the lunchtime, Dr. Heva. On the phone here, Dr. Safia Mohammed. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So I'm hoping everyone is hearing clearly now. I am on location because today is first day of school and my young son had his orientation. So, Base, can you confirm if you're getting the live feedback?
Yeah. We are hearing you. You're on my phone right now. So, well, all's good.
So welcome to all of our listeners. As you just heard, tomorrow we're going to be live at Superfarm Maraval for the entire broadcast of the Lunchtime Doctor between 12 to 1. Today, you are hearing me across the CBC network here to answer those questions to all of our parents who would have had the opportunity to send their little ones back out into the new academic year. I want to ensure that you all had a smooth transition this morning, and I do hope the entire week goes without any hiccups.
Right, of course, you know, it may be a kind of a stressful time for a lot of parents out there. So parents, you know, we always listen to the program and ease your stress, right? Of course, our numbers are 627-3223, 625-2257. Feel free to message us on WhatsApp, 306-1065. And indeed, you could message our other frequencies and they will send your messages right to us. So tomorrow we're going to be at Superfarm in Marva. What is the atmosphere going to be like, Doc? What can we expect there?
So what we're going to do is we're going to field questions from any live audience we have. Yes, we still have those questions on your radio and your WhatsApp messages, but we want to chat a little bit about this back to school. In your Tomorrow Health Plus, we're going to talk a little bit about those anxieties, those back to school jitters, and you're going to see a live demonstration of how I have implemented mindfulness in that of my child's life, and of course even here today. Today we did a little bit of an orientation at the new school we started, and I shared with them a couple of those mindfulness exercises. So we're going to do a live demonstration of that, and of course feed your questions. You're going to be able to interact directly with myself at Superfarm Maraval tomorrow between 12 to 1.
All right, beautiful. Let's take our first call for the afternoon. Hello, welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Yeah, good evening, good evening. What I want to find out, when does the medication seem to take after meal? How long after it is supposed to take this tablet?
Did he get the question there, Doc?
He was a little bit choppy in sharing the words. If you can repeat, that would be great.
All right, could you repeat, sir?
When I get a medication from the doctor, after meal, to take a tablet after meal, mm-hmm. How long after it is supposed to take the tablet? How long before I have your tablet?
All right, when he gets the medication from the doctor, how long after meals should he take the tablet?
Very good question. Now, we talked about if a patient is a diabetic patient, you must be able to eat in taking your tablets because one can experience a hypoglycemic episode. So I would suggest if you're having your medications, then you're having your meal 10 to 15 minutes within that window. Or you can have your meal and then take your medications. Either which way, you don't want a long window. Some of the medications, say it's a cardiovascular patient, and if they're on aspirin, you want to ensure you eat first and then have that meal. Some particular medications ensure that they say, please have your meal first because you have it after the meal. So I would suggest a 10 to 15 minutes is a good time frame.
All right, great. Doctor, a lot of kids are back out to school now. Are there any viruses going around, and what can we do to prevent them from getting sick?
So while there isn't any current viral influenza or respiratory virus at present, we do know within this month of September and October, we do see an increase of the H1N1, as in the flu, the general respiratory syncytial flus, circulating. It's so crucially important that we don't lose some of those health habits from COVID, as in washing our hands, sterilizing, ensuring they use the bacterial, the antibacterial lotions, or hand washes. It's crucially important that we also ensure we optimize our immune system. What does that mean? It's going to be discussed in your health class tomorrow, but a few quick tips. One, always have a portion of fruit and vegetable in your each meal. So at least 2 to 3 portions of fruits or vegetable every single day. 2, you want to try to get your 10 to 15 minutes exercise every day. 3, for our children in particular, sleep is so important. Managing those anxieties, ensuring they get a good night's rest, and of course, making sure they disconnect from all of these digital devices. Those are 5 quick tips to just ensure you are strengthening. In tomorrow's Health Plus, we're also going to talk a little bit about those specific nutrients, micronutrients, and your fruits and vegetables, what to put some emphasis on.
All right. Doctor, what causes bad menstrual cramps? What causes bad menstrual cramps?
Now, we get a lot of messages about menstrual cramps and see quite a few patients in the clinic with menstrual cramps from ages 12 all the way up to mid-40s. The most frequent reason we see bad menstrual cramps can be something called endometriosis. Endometriosis is where there is that unfortunate excess amount of a retrograde flow. And what does that retrograde flow mean? Essentially, instead of coming out, what happens is within the lining of the uterus, there can be extra implementation or implants of extra tissue along the lining. So it's essentially a tissue disease of the endometrial cavity, and it is, unfortunately, one presents with strong menstrual cramps, chronic pelvic pain. The cramps can be during the menstrual time or even outside of the menstrual time. So endometriosis is one, polycystic ovaries is one. There can be other reasons. If one is experiencing excessive menstrual pains, it's crucially important that one presents to the gynecologist. Hope that answers the question.
All right, good day. Doc, what can one do for something that looks like a fungus under the feet? The skin keeps peeling, and even though it's peeled out, it still keeps reappearing.
So that tends to happen. Fungal infections on the skin, in the feet, on the soles of the feet, the skin itself, and the nails are very common. Why? Because the feet are petri dishes for fungus. When you think of we having socks on for the entire day, there's no amount of breathing for the cells of the skin, and of course there's that excessive amount of sweating, or in some cases some people may have a hyperhidrosis, then the fungus grows. Now, what is the first thing to do? We need to look at proper foot care and foot hygiene. Sometimes there may be some sort of infected toenail or a toenail that implants within to the skin. In this case, for the person where they had some sort of fungal infection on the base of the skin, it's so important that they either see a healthcare professional or a dermatologist, because direct or topical antifungal treatment might be necessary. Sometimes it's also necessary to include a systemic antifungal medications. But it starts with getting a medical professional to review the fungal infection. Yes, there are a host of over-the-counter medications. However, not all may be a fungal infection. It may be a bacterial infection superimposed on it. So my advice, get it checked out. And of course, pay attention to foot hygiene.
All right, folks, once again, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangi 106.5, Sky 99.5 FM, Vibe City 105, and Sangeet 106.1. Kind compliments of Super Farm, 6273-223, 625-2257, and of course, your WhatsApp messages at 306-1065. Hi, good day, Doctor. My 13-year-old son is taking antibiotics for his acne. Is it good to take?
So yes, with acne, one mainstay for acne is those antibiotics. What happens is that there tends to be an infection along the skin layers. Yes, it's good to take, however, be guided by the healthcare professional. There'll be certain medications that you would need to ensure there isn't any contraindication, and probably sometimes even foods. So if it's a case of acne, you may probably want to limit dairy. I hope your 13-year-old is not on any caffeine, because that could also exacerbate the acne. When I say dairy, milk, cheese, even yogurt. All of that could exacerbate acne. Hope that answers your question.
Well, let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Tanya. What is the risk for the person feel a heat in the foot?
They feel what?
A heat in your foot. They're feeling a heat in your foot.
A heat in your feet.
Yeah.
All right. What causes that heat in your feet, doctor?
So that's something we see quite often with a lot of our diabetic patients. And that's because they present with diabetic neuropathy. What happens is that there's that damage to the nerve endings. One may feel the heat. One may experience an inflammatory reaction, which obviously produces that warmth. One may also experience numbness, tingling, and even loss of sensation. So it's an entire sequelae of symptoms that one experiences. Anytime you're feeling heat, which is warmth, that's a sign of inflammation, which means it could be an infection or a neuropathy. Hope that answers the question.
All right, let's take another call. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to The Lunchtime Doctor.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead with your question, miss.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, miss. Yes, go ahead with your question.
I'd like to find out something, please.
What is
it? I don't know if they help me. In the food festival, right? When somebody win, right? Do you all put the picture in the Guardian?
Miss, this is The Lunchtime Doctor. We'll be answering medical questions. We're not answering that right now. Thank you very much. But we will get a number for you to get back to that question, right, about the food festival. All right, well, don't forget, once again, we will be tomorrow live at Super Farm. The doctor will be live at Super Farm tomorrow, Super Farm in Maraval. So you could come and ask your medical questions there. All right, doctor, since coconut oil is saturated oil, does it clog the arteries?
Good question. You know, all of last week, we had a number of questions on coconut oil and olive oil, other types of oils. Now, yes, coconut oil, and we talked about it, has a high glycemic index. Yes, there are certain health benefits, but we want to just, again, everything in moderation, manage the amount of coconut oil that you're using, because yes, if used in excess, can cause a clog into the artery. Is there a high level of cholesterol in coconut oil? Certainly. In fact, coconut oil has a great degree, a higher degree of increasing the LDL, which is indeed the bad cholesterol. So it has a high constituent of cholesterol, and that is the type of fat that unfortunately clogs the arteries.
All right. And for that lady with the question with the Guardian, feel free to call 235-5668. That's 235-5668, the Trinidad Guardian. Thank you. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, boy.
Yes, sir.
Doc, what's up? Doc, my neighbor wants to know what is mucus. Mucus. It is not a class 32.
Yes. What is mucus, doctor?
Mucus is something that the entire body produces, be it the respiratory pathway, the olfactory pathway, in the mouth, or especially within the sinuses. When is some sort of harmful reaction or irritation that occurs. So let's look at, let's say there's a cough. One may have a that mucolytic type cough, and that's because there's some sort of inflammation happening within the respiratory tract area. One may even produce mucus within the sinuses, and this tends to either line the sinuses, it may line the throat, it may line the mouth, it may even line the layers of the lung. Now, how do we deal with mucus? I'm sure you've heard about something called a mucolytic. You can utilize, if you have a home humidifier or if you have a home nebulizer. The nebulizer, just with normal saline, can help thin down that mucus, and of course, an expectorant will help it come out. Most persons who have any sort of allergies, they're always complaining of clogged sinuses based on this mucus. Is there something as abnormal mucus production? If the body's immune system is compromised, as in when one had COVID and the body's immune system was severely compromised, or if one has asthma or bronchitis or bronchopneumonia, you may actually see a greater production of mucus. It may turn yellow, it may turn green, it may turn all sorts of colors. And that represents an infection in the body. Hope that answers the question.
All right, folks, lunchtime doctor with the kind compliments of Superfarm. Do males get thyroid problems? Mostly females get it as well, but can a male get a thyroid problem? And if so, how should they test?
Definitely. And that's a myth thinking that only females will get thyroid. While yes, we do see it more commonly in females than males, because it's a thyroid issues tend to be hormonal related. Males can experience thyroid disease. What is the test? We look specifically at the thyroid stimulating hormone, a thyroid function test. We look at T3, T4. Or even before we do the blood test, we can actually look at the neck and see if there's a swelling on the neck. The swelling of the neck may be a goiter, and that may be either a thyroid nodule, some sort of autoimmune disease like Graves' disease or Hashimoto thyroiditis, or worst case scenario, a thyroid cancer.
Okay. If someone is diagnosed with diabetes, can it be cured or can it be only managed?
Very good question. And to all those who joined us at the Diabetes Association internship graduation over the weekend, that was one of the questions that some of our interns presented on. No, diabetes is not reversible. It's certainly manageable and treatable. But once the cells have been damaged to the point where it's not producing enough insulin, then there's no reversal of it. Consistent management of lifestyle habits can put it at rest, where you may not need medication if you have a strong control of your nutrition. And what we're saying is that our diabetic interns, our interns from the Diabetes Association, they did specifically a study on some of the usual junk foods that one indulges in here, right, in Trinidad and Tobago. And they saw the sugar peaks. And yes, just within a half an hour after having most of the junk food that Trinidadians indulge in, you're seeing a peak of your sugar values as high as 40, 50, 60 points. So can, in terms of diabetes being reversed? Yes, with tight control of what we're eating, and of course, if there's medications prescribed.
All right, this was from someone a while back. Dear doctor, concerning the granddaughter with the late eruption, the public clinic felt it to be hypodontia, but a private specialist revealed there are teeth within. It's just that the gum has been hardened.
Okay, so I'm not too familiar with what exactly the person is asking about a case, but if one is talking about an extra tooth in the mouth, which is hypodontia or supernumerary tooth, it's not something that happens quite commonly. It's called an anomaly, and yes, it is indeed treatable. It can happen both as either the primary or the permanent tooth. And while that is indeed treatable by the dental surgeons, what they would need to do is first and foremost a little bit of surveillance, as in x-rays of the mouth or even the 3D ultrasound of the mouth, if the child has had multiple x-rays done already. And that extra tooth, or the hypodontia or the supernumerary tooth, can either be surgically extracted or just closely monitored for further eruption.
All right, folks, of course, 627-3223-625-2257 and your WhatsApp messages at 306-1065. Good afternoon, doctor. My skin keeps breaking out with rashes and hives. What can I use?
Right, so any sort of skin infection, we need to find out the trigger first. Is it food? Is it the environment? Is it what you're eating? Is it the clothes you're wearing? The germ that's affecting you, as in what you may be using to clean clothes? So we need to figure out the trigger first. What can you do? Obviously, once you figure out the trigger, avoid that trigger. Two, we need to ensure you're moisturizing the skin and paying attention to the moisturizing. The specific moisturizers that I would tend to recommend for eczema versus those that suffer with psoriasis. So we need to know exactly what you're breaking out with, because they're different creams for different skin conditions.
Good afternoon, doctor. I am diabetic. Under my feet, just under the area after the toes, it pains me a lot. And it moves to the toe area sometimes. Can you give me a little advice, please?
Yes, we can. And you know, Bass, you realize in every single program, you realize we get this type of question. So that gives you an idea of how many patients have diabetic neuropathy. What does that mean? There's peripheral nerve damage. When the sugar values are not well controlled, as in when diabetes is not well controlled within the body, unfortunately, that high circulating sugars damages the layers of the nerve fibers. What does the patient need to do? One, please see your healthcare professional right away. We may need to tighten your medication. What does that mean? We may need to add a layer or two, as in probably our next medication, switch it out, know what your HbA1c is, and of course, look at the eating habits. Because once there's an excess of circulating sugar and the nerves become damaged, there is no reversal of that nerve damage. Now, there are also some medications on the market that can help ease with that nerve pain. And I want to give everyone that reassurance that there are medications on the market. We can prescribe. Some are micronutrients, some are available as OTCs, over the counter. Some may need a prescription, but there are medications that can help ease that nerve pain in particular.
All right, good day to you both. What test is done for blood clots?
Great question. One may have a blood clot in the heart, and that's called a heart attack, a blood clot in the brain, and that's called a stroke, or a blood clot in the legs, and that's called a DVT. Or the one that unfortunately takes life is a blood clot in the lungs, and that's called a pulmonary embolus. Now, I mentioned four different locations because the different locations have different tests. But first and foremost, we want to know your cholesterol values. The clots tend to be an embolus or a hemorrhagic, which is a blood itself type clot. So it may be cholesterol deposition, or it may be from a bleed. As in, say, if there's a trauma and one may unfortunately have a bleed in the brain. So there are several different types of investigations. It may start with just a simple blood test, We may go to a CT scan. We may look at even the ECG, the EEG. It's all based on the type of blood clot and exactly what we're looking for.
Of course. Good day, doctor. What causes a healthy teenager to have short breath at the age of 15, even if she exercises by walking?
Now, that is very concerning to me. We do see quite a number of teenagers with shortness of breath because their blood count, their hemoglobin, their Hb is lower. So they unfortunately may have anemia. Anyone with anemia, let's just say they have heavy menstrual periods or even an intermenstrual bleed, unfortunately, they can have signs and symptoms of anemia, which is that shortness of breath. So, do they need to get that checked out? Yes, sooner rather than later.
Hi, good afternoon, Doc. I have sometimes 3 to 4 cups of coffee a day. Is that bad?
Both you and I know that it's bad. I'm laughing because I'm just as guilty, and it is something I'm constantly working on. So here, let me tell you why it's bad. And probably it's a good reminder for myself as well. Caffeine affects your heart rate. Caffeine can also affect the thyroid levels, hormone levels, stress levels. While caffeine may dilate certain arteries and different circulatory substances, it unfortunately can lead to an increase in your heart rate, as in cause a tachycardia. So 3 to 4 cups, I will say maximum 2 cups of coffee a day. 3 at most. Anything over 3, way too much. But remember, you're also looking at the amount of caffeine. Some drinks may be rather diluted. Do you know teas actually have more caffeine than coffee? So you keep in mind that there are other sources of caffeine. If you would like to have more caffeine, then just dilute it down. Here's another thing you can do. Try switching out the caffeine drinks with green teas. Green teas have less caffeine in them. And of course, you can even create your own tea at home. So there are other things you can do to just substitute if you're having way too many cups of coffee. Hope that answers the question.
Dear Doc, I suffer from very bad migraines. I sometimes have them hours at a time. What can I do? What can you do to help me?
I'm so sorry you experienced migraines. Migraines is one of the things that are so debilitating. And I feel that level of distress. First and foremost, let's identify the triggers. Most times, migraines can be related to vision deficits or stress related. It may be related to not getting proper sleep as well, or being overstimulated, as in too much light, too much noise. If it's directly related to some sort of cerebrovascular incident, then one may need specific medications to help manage that migraine. But I want to reassure you, there's a host of medications that can be done to ease the migraines and, of course, lifestyle habits. You may experience the aura as the migraine comes on, which will help you to temper any sort of triggers, as in reduce the amount of light in your room, reduce the amount the noise in your room if you're in a space you can do that. But understanding the triggers, some people are even triggered by foods. Understanding the triggers, seeing your healthcare professional, getting proper treatment for the source of the migraines, because there are different types of migraines as well.
All right. Once again, folks, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, 627-3223, 625-2257. All right, let's take a call here. Hello, good afternoon.
Presenter. Doctor, pleasant good afternoon. I have a question for the doctor. Doctor, after listening what you shared about the coffee, I've been drinking black coffee, strong, day and night, with sliced sugar for the past several years, for a long, long time. Now, I have no complaint till this day. What could be the cause or the result for So I have no complaint with the amount of coffee I have drink for many, many years, for decades and for scores coming on the road. I would like to hear what is your opinion. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Did you hear that question about black coffee?
Yes, I did. Excellent question. So continuing in the conversation of coffee. It may be that he's percolating his coffee at home, and it may be that the dilution is not at a really strong amount. And of course, it may be that he's not probably adding a lot of sugar or milk to it, because it's really sugar and milk that can cause those complications. Of course, there are also persons with a proper functioning kidneys and liver that is not affected by this stimulant. But just keep in mind, caffeine is considered a stimulant to both the brain. So in some persons, they unfortunately can affect their heart rate and their blood pressure. But this person that called and said he's been having coffee for a long time and a lot of cups, it may be that the dilution is just perfected. So it's not an intense, overly concentrated version of coffee.
All right, let's take another call. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for a wonderful program. I want to make a point to you. I am a diabetic for 27 years, right? I use a lot of Splendid sugar. I do not use normal sugar. That is a problem for the future. I would like to hear your comments, sir. Thank you.
Good question. I'm glad you're using the Splendid sugar. However, keep in mind that it is indeed still a chemically altered version of sugar. Here's what I would rather. I would rather, if you can, steer away from sugar altogether or use one or two drops of honey. Stay as natural as possible. What we do know, and I've heard other scientists report on this, is what may not give you diabetes can possibly give you cancer. So anything that's a chemically altered version of something means that there are different chemicals in it, and if we're using it in excess, then we're putting our bodies at risk. I personally do not use Splenda in any of my drinks. If I have to sweeten something, I use like a drop or two of honey, as natural as possible.
All right. Question here. Good day, Doc. I sometimes talk to my wife about her eating habits. She has a good breakfast, skips lunch, and then eats very late at night. Is that okay?
So that pretty much sounds like everyone's eating habits, where lunch is skipped, and unfortunately, they grab on the go and get something. A heavy meal in the night is not advisable. While it's a typical tradition, what happens is by the evening time, when you have that meal, your body's metabolism is slowing down. And that's where the meal now will easily convert the fat, the other depositions. It will deposit, and the favorite place to deposit is the thighs and the central areas, as in the abdomen. So that's called central obesity. And one may be at risk of increasing weight or becoming unhealthy in their weight if they're having heavy meals at night. What a heavy meal at night also does, it also can disrupt your sleep, because now the body has to process all of that constituents of the meal. So what we suggest is have your heavier meal, if you need to really have a heavy meal, no later than 6 o'clock in the afternoon, giving the body enough time to process it before bedtime.
Good afternoon, Doctor. Does peripheral neuropathy affect someone with high blood pressure as well?
Yes, unfortunately. So we talked about diabetic neuropathy. One can also experience a hypertensive neuropathy. So that that is neuropathy is any sort of damage to the nerves. We tend to see more often than not diabetic patients being affected by having this neuropathy. But yes, high blood pressure can also present with neuropathy, and that tends to present in the same exact way. However, the diabetic patients have a rapid degradation between numbness, and then loss of sensation can happen in just mere months.
All right, good afternoon, doctor. Here's another question about diabetes. Good afternoon, doctor. What is your advice on Metamucil for type 2 a diabetic?
Right. So Metamucil in particular is a medication that is not necessarily prescribed for diabetes, but it's more fiber supplement. And that's why I can actually discuss it here on live air, because it's really a fiber supplement that one may use to help either aid digestion, to ensure there's some sort of appetite control, and of course, if one has constipation. So one may utilize or incorporate Metamucil as part of their entire the entire usage of different foods and eats in terms of a fiber treat, or you see the Metamucil fiber thins, or they may add the Metamucil into their drinks as from the powder, but it does not affect the management of the glucose. It's really to add fiber to your digestive health.
All right, let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor.
Hi, good afternoon. I would like to ask the doctor a question. Do we have a smell in our hair? I want to find out what causes it, and if there is anything we can do to eliminate it. Thank you.
Right, so can we repeat? I just heard, what did she say?
Well, she said that us old people, well, the elderly, tend to have a smell in their hair. Is there anything that could be done to eliminate it?
Okay, so if there are aromas or odors from, I'm not sure if she said hair or air.
No, hair.
Yeah, well, any sort of aromas from the hair, it may be, obviously, that the hair may not be as washed as often. And what we do know is that there's that desquamation of the skin cells, both from the scalp and the generalized skin on a daily basis. That happens across the board. As one ages, what can one do? Several things. The same way we talk about skin hygiene and foot hygiene, there is also hair hygiene. It may need onto the scalp itself to ensure there isn't any fungal infection, to ensure that there isn't any sort of bacterial deposition on the scalp. So this is crucially important when it comes to hair hygiene.
All right, folks, once again, 627-3223, 625-2257. Hello, Dr. Mohamed. A few months ago, well, I had a pacemaker on my left side. My pressure kept on getting high and low. Could that be the case of the cause of my pressure? Thank you.
Thank you so much. Can you just repeat the question?
Yes. A few months ago, the person has a pacemaker on the left side. My pressure kept on getting high and low.
Yes, sir. So thank you so much for that. The person who sent that in, anyone who is having a pacemaker and they're having changes in their blood pressure, unfortunately, that is a red flag to go to the doctor. Absolutely. If there's an increase in blood pressure with a pacemaker, right away, you need to go to the cardio specialist or your general medical professional. Why? Not only because of the pacemaker, you want to ensure there isn't any glitches, you want to ensure there isn't any blocks within the cardiovascular system. With a pacemaker, we have a little bit more of an intense management on one's blood pressure. That can happen, especially depending on the age of the pacemaker. Hope that answers the question.
All right. right, folks. Let me see this other question here. All right. Good day. My mom is on blood pressure tablets. Can her feet swell a lot? Can this be the cause?
So if one is on blood pressure medication, the swelling is not because of the medication itself. The swelling is because of the complications of high blood pressure. One may unfortunately have complications with the heart, and that can directly affect the peripheries. So there's something called peripheral artery disease, and that leads to swelling. That swelling of the feet is so important that we monitor, because one may need to even include diuretics into the management of the patient. A diuretic helps to just kind of ease the burden of the volume distribution in the body if one has high blood pressure. So just keep that in mind. Swelling or peripheral edema is something we're very concerned about with our hypertensive patients.
All right, folks, and remember, once again, we're going to be live at Superfarm. The doctor will be live at Superfarm in Maraval tomorrow. So check us out from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Hi, good day, doc. I get a pin. Yeah?
And I'm really looking forward to that live. This is the first time we've crossed 500 type programs for this lunchtime, Doctor. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time we're going to go live. So we'll be live at Superfarm Marval between 12 to 1 tomorrow for the broadcast of this program.
All right. Good day, Doctor. I get a pain in my right heel. This one goes up to my feet, just below my knee. Right? None in my thigh, but in my right side of the buttocks. I also have problems, yeah. I guess, with blood circulation is in the same foot. Any advice? Thank you.
So that, again, just like we mentioned, may also be some sort of neuropathy, but the way you describe the way the pain is spreading, it could be sciatica. That pain distribution is very similar to what you're describing. What you would need to do is, one, ensure that there isn't any additional signs and symptoms. If there are, if you're experiencing that tingling, that numbness, that weakness, it may be directly related to injury or pressure on the sciatic nerve itself. One may experience a sciatica if one is either like in a sitting position for a long time, or if there's a herniated disc or some sort of previous pelvic injury. One, as one age, in fact, we see a lot of patients over 50 with sciatica, and that's from something called spondylitis within the hip joint itself that directly injures the sciatic nerve. What can you do if you're experiencing this pain from sciatica? Right away, please get it checked out, because that weakness, that pain will only worsen. Yes, there's treatment. However, treatment can be physiotherapy, treatment can be surgical as well. But to these affected areas, I would suggest apply a warm pad, as in heat pad, or you can even do the ice, so whichever works best for you. Some persons like the use of the coldness over the heat. Some persons get the relief with the heat pads. But just about 10 to 15 minutes for about, say, over the course of a couple hours, try to ensure that your ergonomics, so if you're sitting at your desk for a lot of time, you want to be able to get up and stretch, get up and ensure that you're getting some sort of movements. Or we also recommend these back exercises, yoga, anything to strengthen the abdominal muscles and, of course, the flexibility of the spine. So your physical therapy is key. Now, this applies to anyone who is in a job spec where they're sitting for the day for a number of hours. Chances are you will develop sciatica, so let's try to be preventative and not put ourselves at risk.
All right, 8 minutes away from 1 o'clock, folks. 8 minutes away for your lunchtime, doctor, today, Monday, right? 627-3223, 625-2257. Let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Great job, Doc. Best you too as well. My question is, I'm diabetic, and nobody the neuropathy thing, but when I walk bare feet, which I'm not supposed to, my feet get numb a little bit, but if I have on a slippers, I have no problem. Can you explain that to me, please?
All right. Did you get a question, Doc?
No, I just heard if she walks bare feet.
Yeah, she is diabetic, but she when she walks bare feet, there's a problem sometimes.
Right. Most persons, just as we mentioned, with our diabetic patients, when they're walking bare feet, they're going to experience that numbness and tingling if there's neuropathy. So all of our diabetics absolutely encourage not walking barefoot, because if you experience a little cut, bruise, sharp intervention on the skin, you may not feel it and put yourself at risk of a foot ulcer. Those simple little cuts and bruises can now develop into ulcers, and that's how we end up needing to amputate. So all of our diabetics, we always encourage proper foot care. So please do not walk barefoot.
All right, let's go again. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Doc. I have a problem. Hear my problem. I am 70 years of age. I'm a diabetic. But I noticed lately I'm sweating a lot from my head. All the time sweating from my head. What could I do for that?
Right. Now, that's not only for cases of patients who are diabetic. Really and truly, there's been a lot of changes in our heat patterns right here in Trinidad. So that hyperhidrosis, I don't think it's consistent with just those who are diabetic. I think it's because of the heat patterns that we've been having. But here's what you can do. It's definitely not only related to those who are diabetic. I'd want to check if your blood sugars go low, because in our diabetics, when their blood sugar goes low and they experience hypoglycemia, there's a lower, that lower blood sugar can trigger this hyperhidrosis. If one has a hypothyroidism, that can trigger this excessive sweating. If one is on specific medications, some of the side effects of some of these medications can be hyperhidrosis. So let's keep in mind, it's not only related to diabetes. I think there may be other causes, other things to treat, but let's keep in mind, if you are diabetic and your sugar is low, it will cause this excessive sweating.
Mm-hmm. All right, just 4 minutes before 1 o'clock there. Good day, doctor. My dad is experiencing numbness in his right arm from just under the elbow go down. What do you think?
Again, anyone who's experiencing a neuropathy, it's either neuromuscular in origin, when it's upper body, as in this case, it may be directly related to the spinal cord. There may be some sort of herniation, or the more common diagnosis in this case can be a cervical spondylitis. What is necessary? Please do not delay. Get it checked out. Now, Bess, I want to share a very tragic story when it comes to persons who are experiencing that numbness in the hand and not getting it checked out. Recently, and when I say recently, within this year, we had a patient experiencing exactly that, and they ignored it and they ignored it until the point of they couldn't feel their hands in terms of driving, the sensation in their hands, and they were driving, and unfortunately they ended up in an accident. Thankfully, it wasn't tragic in terms of loss of life, but they certainly were compromised because there was a lot of injury. Now, they shared to us that they were experiencing this numbness for some months now, but didn't make anything of it and didn't get it checked out. Once you're experiencing numbness, you will progress to loss of sensation. So please get that checked out.
All right, Doug, we have just about 2 minutes. Can you let's go over what will be in our helpless if we have a helpless tomorrow?
So we're going to take this last We're going to take this last couple of minutes to share to you what's in your Health Plus Guardian tomorrow. We know today is back to school, and there's so many students that have that back to school jitters. And we also want to help parents that develop their healthy checklist back to school. So we're talking about that in your Guardian Health Plus. You will also hear us chat a little bit about it in CNC3 Morning Brew on just about 7:30, 7:40 in the morning, and we continue live on site, Marval Superfarm, tomorrow for your lunchtime doctor. My heartfelt appreciation to all those who take the time to send in their messages, who are patient with our little technical difficulties, because I tend to be on site most times now, and of course, everyone of the TBC team who makes this program happen for you, our listeners.
Thank you very much, Doc. And of course, be safe tomorrow out there. See you at Superfarm.
Looking forward to it. Be safe, everyone.
All right. Thank you. Of course, folks, you've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangi 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Of course, with the kind compliments of Superfarm. Do enjoy the rest of your day.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.